Welcome to Coffee with Catholic Workers, a podcast made by and for Catholic workers. I'm Theo.
And I'm Lydia. We've both been a part of the Catholic Worker for the last decade, and we're excited to bring various conversations with Catholic workers from around the world.
On this episode, we're joined by Lindsay and Chrissy, who are joining me in helping start a Catholic Worker House of Hospitality in the St. Louis area. We'll hear a bit about their personal Catholic Worker journeys and then some of our vision for the new St. Louis Catholic Worker.
So we'll go ahead and get started with all three of them.
Well, Lindsay and Chrissy, welcome to Coffee with Catholic Workers. I am very excited to have you all here finally joining us. Why don't we start off like we usually do, and you all can tell us, how did you find your way to the Catholic Worker, and then how did you find yourself from that place to wanting to start one in St. Louis? And you all can arm wrestle about who goes first.
Okay, I guess I'll go. Chrissy, yeah? Okay. I was a Jesuit volunteer in Phoenix, and then and I worked at the biggest shelter in Phoenix. I'm doing like intakes for case management for folks. And then I had these friends that worked at the soup kitchen down the road, and I would go over there and like have lunch with them. And I didn't like the case management scene because I felt like there was like a disconnect between like the desk and the person in front of me. And a lot of people would like avoid folks on their way, avoid the clients on the way to work. Whereas like I would like go through the unhoused campus and like say hi to everybody. And I liked like, I don't know, like being friends with people and that kind of thing. So, after my Jesuit year was over, I like interviewed to work at this, it was called Andre House, at the like House of Hospitality that they had, and we did like showers, clothing, laundry, all that kind of thing. But I didn't know it was a Catholic Worker until I got there, kind of. So like they didn't really like, they're kind of like big, so like we fed like 500 to 700 meals a night and did like a bunch of showers and a clothing closet, and we had a men's transitional house. And so there's just like, we were doing a lot of things in an office with like hygiene and phone and just all sorts of stuff like that. And so I kind of learned about the roots of the worker of Andre House when I got there, and then realized that like Dorothy Day and Peter Marin were like big inspirations to the priest that started it. And like our motto was the open door, which is like a very like Catholic Worker, you know, aesthetic, or I don't know, I guess mantra is a better word for it. But so anyways, I was there. And then once I was there, I read The Long Loneliness, and or maybe I read it. I might've found out about the Catholic Worker while I was a Jesuit volunteer and read The Long Loneliness. I can't quite remember because those years all merged together, but and then I kind of begin to read and kind of also see the disconnect between like Andre House where I was and kind of the work that the Catholic Worker was doing, but then also the kind of connections in the sense of the spirit of hospitality and like acknowledging each person as a person and that everyone has different needs, but like all are welcome. And that wasn't something that like working on a homeless services campus, like people would often be suspended and for fights and violence. And whereas we would have like a mass outside and everyone was welcome, even if they're like talking to someone who might not be there, you know, and like that kind of thing. And that really like drew me in, the beauty of like all are welcome at the table. Whereas like the government, that wasn't the case, you know, if you didn't have certain ID or certain thing, you couldn't get in. And there were all these restrictions where Andre House, like anyone could show up. And so that's kind of how I found myself there. And then, yeah, what was the other thing? Or do you see Chrissy want to go? Or
How did you make your way then to eventually thinking about starting a Catholic Worker?
Yeah, well, that's a journey process. So I, so Andre House is interesting too, in the sense that, like, I think a lot of every worker does something different. Well, they have like people who do service years. So they have this, like, they have some like staff, so to speak, but like generally it's like people don't stay more than a year. And I stay 2 years, because to me, I was like, this is what I want to do. Like, why would I do anything else? But like, I didn't really, like, I knew that there were other Catholic workers, but like, this was the place that I found home. And so, but then, so afterwards, I was kind of disgruntled with like a lot of, how do I say it? Like, you know, 70 hour weeks we were working, but then also seeing the same people, like, you know, encountering folks die on the street, just the systemic level of poverty, like folks don't have anywhere to go. So they're going into like a detox facility, but that's not what they need. They can't afford anything, waiting for months for Social Security, just like the same problems over and over. And so I wanted to spend time like thinking about like the roots of poverty and like why, because I saw on this individual level that I would just like was so burnt out and was trying to like be a savior and do everything, but like I couldn't do it. And so I got a degree. I went and studied like social justice in Chicago, actually. And then after that, was doing some organizing and found myself in Florida in 2020, which was a whole interesting life there. But then was also just disgruntled with the disconnect of like people. You're organizing with churches to try to like, I was organizing churches to do some housing reform, like trying to get affordable housing trust funds and trying to get like police trained in mental health crisis response. This is right after George Floyd's murder. And Florida isn't ready for, you know, defunding the police, but the police were training themselves in how to handle mental health emergencies. And so we got NAMI, the National Alliance of Mental Illness, to train them. And so we won that campaign and it was really awesome. And also me working 70 hour weeks, you know, crazy in 2020, but then feeling like even the churches connected to this, while some of them had experienced poverty or racism or several things with the police, or even like dealing with housing issues, like I still was, the most of the people I was seeing on the day-to-day basis were people who were housed. And I felt like there was a like for me personally, I wanted to be both like have my hands in the work as well as like doing resistance. And so I think that kind of led me back to St. Louis. I have my twin lives here, and then I have a good community here, and I was ready to kind of settle in a community and like want to devote my time and energy to a community rather than like hopping between, like, because I'm from Nevada, but I was like hopping into all of these spaces. And to me, I felt like if I wanted to do resistance or organizing or really be present to like suffering in a community, like I wanted to root myself there. And this, I was kind of discerning between St. Louis and Chicago, but I ended up in St. Louis because it's a little slower paced, and my twin was here. And so, yeah, after taking some time, a theme in my life is kind of taking care of the world and carrying the world on my shoulders, but not always tending to my own being, you know, or you could call it white saviorism, you know, all sorts of things, but I needed to like discern who I was apart from loving the world and caring for the world. And so I took some time as just like worked as a barista and did the Ignatian exercises, and me and Theo became friends and went to Sugar Creek and different things, but did a stint like doing chaplaincy in a hospital and stuff. But like kind of for me, it was, I had this moment, I was reading Mutual Aid by Dean Cade. And like in chaplaincy and exhausted, but also just like being like, this is what I want to be doing. Like, I want to be like tending to the suffering of the world in this direct way, but also like resisting it. And like, and as well as with this like spiritual lens of like, of sustainability and letting God be really present in the work. And So yeah, I think then I texted Theo and I was like, we should, you know, I was looking up houses and stuff and trying to figure it out. And then he kind of connected all three of us together because Chrissy had a house that needed a lot of work and kind of that was the beginning of it. But it was really just like listening to kind of like, I think I was trying to find who me to fit into a job. And it's like, but this is a vocation. And like, how do I want to live and how do I want to be present there? So that's, and then we kind of all connected and have been kind of meeting and discerning ever since. But yeah, I hope I answered clear enough.
Yeah, thanks. And what about you, Chrissy? How did you find your way to the Catholic Worker?
It's an interesting question. I know it's like kind of the basis of the Coffee with Catholic Workers, and it's interesting of what emerges, of what draws one in at different times. I first learned about the Catholic Worker when I was in college studying social work, and I think one of the professors I had was comparing Dorothy Day and Jane Hull. So kind of somebody motivated from a faith perspective, and then also, you know, one who kind of more within like a government, working within the system a bit. So I had gone to the Catholic Worker in Columbia, Missouri, during my college times, more like as a volunteer with some youth groups. And I feel like it was some of the most joyful moments, or at least the most memorable in my college years, in terms of going and sharing dinner and having people coming out of prison and teaching how to play spades. And it was just like these joyful tables of bringing people around, and kind of got my heart excited about what it was I wanted to do. But it wasn't until I'd gone for a backpacking trip in Europe and had gone with a friend who was moving into Karen House in St. Louis. And then we wrote to some of the Catholic workers in Europe to see about hospitality there, and then ended up staying at quite a few Catholic workers like in Dortmund, Germany. So some of my first hospitality I experienced was in the Catholic workers there in Europe. So that was kind of an interesting perspective to have. And then after coming back from that trip, I had my last year in college and took a Just Faith program at the Newman Center. And so got to understand like the best kept secret of the Catholic Church and the social encyclicals and different things, and started going by St. Francis House there in Columbia, Missouri more frequently. And it was really like a kind of like pivotal turning point by going to the School of the Americas for the first time in 1998 in that November. And boy, that blew my mind. Just all of these people who were just so joyful and just had like seemed so alive. And it was just, it was infectious. I really wanted to know like what they were doing, and it was inspirational. I was finishing an internship at the State Psychiatric Hospital in my social work studies. So I was going down the path of what I knew I didn't want to do, but trying to go into the path of what it was I wanted to do. It was also at that time that the United States was involved in Operation Desert Fox in Iraq, and so was bombing the people in Iraq, and also the time of Bill Clinton's impeachment, and just kind of coinciding. And Steve Jacobs at the Catholic Worker in Columbia, Missouri, had returned from a trip to Iraq with Voices in the Wilderness, and was sharing his story or experiences with the people there. And so it just felt really like kind of coming home, or just an awareness of the world was opening to my eyes, and not just the ways of the world, but also what people were doing to combat that. So as I was studying social work, a big theme that I was noticing was how much money was going to militarism. And coming from St. Louis, where Boeing, McDonnell Douglas was like a large employer, there was a saying about like, you know, equating our way of life with McDonnell Douglas, and, you know, it protecting that way of life. And so that was really resonant to me, just knowing like social work being a field, but like not having enough resources and just not wanting to go and work within the system. And so So decided to move into the Catholic Worker there my last semester in college at St. Francis House. And the hospitality that we were doing there was largely with Vietnam vets and different veterans. So it was just this really clear connection of the impacts of war and militarism. And it was also like at that time that the state of Missouri was doing a lot of execution. So it was this, there was a lot of opportunity for engagement and a lot of protests in the streets and people coming together and taking action. And it was just starting to discover what it was I wanted to do with my life. And yeah, it kept me at the St. Francis House there. And I guess one of the big parts of that too was doing the hospitality and also doing the resistance. And it felt like a real firm grounding. And it was also just so joyful, the people, you know, doing it with, of just feeling so alive and encouraged and finding community and finding family. And yeah, it was then leaving the Catholic Worker in St. Louis or in Columbia and moving back to St. Louis when the Shock and Awe campaign was happening in Iraq, and focusing on Boeing and the smart bomb productions and different things that had me rooted in St. Louis, and then leading us to start the Carl Cabot House here, which was more kind of a community of resistance and focusing on aspects of resistance and building community. And I guess the second part of the question was, what has drawn us to starting this community? So, I guess I also say that St. Louis is my hometown. And so kind of similar to what Lindsay was saying about rootedness, it feels really important to take claim to space and not like in a, you know, colonizer way, but the importance of we can protect what it is that we love. And so the importance of really like rooting into a space, and it felt important, this being a hometown and also being a place where so much destruction has come out of. We've had Monsanto World Headquarters, Boeing, Peabody Coal here at this intersection of the rivers, the confluence. And so I think, you know, sometimes really being challenged by the work, but just also recognizing the importance of trying to bring about healing to some of these structures and to the people that they impact. So I guess also too, going back to what Lindsay's saying, so I had purchased a house here some time ago with the intention of it being a Catholic Worker, and you know, chipping away at it, pulling plaster out, 5-gallon buckets, you know, one at a time, and still taking on a lot of the work of this house, but having that intention for community. And so that's, yeah, finding Theo and Lindsay in the community, and now just kind of trusting and leaning into that beloved community that we're trying to build.
So it's super exciting to, like, I don't know, at least I remember in starting a community, it being super exciting to sort of dream about like what community could be or what it could look like, because sort of sky's the limit when you're first mm-hmm. starting out. What have been some of the things that have been exciting for you all to think about and dream about? And this is including Theo, I suppose, as well. So I'm curious about like what some of the dreams are, but then also what have been some of the things that have been sort of difficult to work out? Like the things that have taken some deep conversation to be like, okay, if this community is going to go, figuring out how you all as a trio mm-hmm. agree or disagree and how that works for you.
Who's taking it?
Maybe I'll just start by saying it's like sometimes that the doctor visits and they ask, like, you know, are you having any of these symptoms? I feel like we haven't really been having, or my experience, we haven't had any hard conversations or hard goes, you know, to start with, in terms of really trusting in each other and the visioning, and, you know, certainly knowing that some of those challenges await us, but just starting out with a good bill of health, I think, going forward. I just wanted to start and say that.
Yeah, I mean, I think what's been exciting is I think all of us have had, you know, our time in the movement in one way or another. And I think having come from different communities and different experiences, being able to put our brains together and our hearts together and kind of be like what worked and what didn't work. And I think all of us experienced a level of like burnout and unsustainability in the movement. And like, I think what's been really redeeming for my spirit is for all of us to be like, how can we make this sustainable in the long haul? Like, how can we, you know, mutate in activism in a way that doesn't take away from our us being our whole selves and the folks that, you know, hospitality that we're doing and others being their full selves. And I think that's been really exciting. Like one of our like values we talked about is play or joy. And I think that like being able to like have that sense of like abundance that like we're not just like putting our head down and like doing the work, but like how can we be playful and joyful and like bring that out in each other and also in the movement and like the giftedness of like imagination and creating and like, just not being so like, oh God, you know, we're so exhausted, but like, you know, what does it look like for us to really take care of ourselves and take care of the community in a way that is holistic and sustainable? And I think one of the things we've talked about is like the beauty of, you know, when Peter and Dorothy started, like it was, you know, what a house taking in someone, like, you know, the Christ room, right? That the approach that everyone would have a Christ room in their home. And I think for us, like, you know, the approach of we can take in a couple folks, like we're not trying to, you know, save the world, but how can we like really tend to be intentional in the work in that space? So that's been like really exciting for me and just joyful to think about dreaming together in a way where we're, you know, with Maslow's hierarchy, we're not just addressing the baseline, but we're addressing our spiritual needs of joy and play and fun and in the work as well. So, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, and I think we're lucky to, because we have like, in many ways, like a similar vision, I think. And we just like each other and like get along too. I think that helps. Like we're kind of friends and enjoy each other's company. But yeah, but like, yes, like Lindsay was saying, this idea of not just like burning out. There's a lot of people who come and go from the movement, which is fine in its own way to come for a year or two or three. And Dorothy writes about that, but that like, yeah, we want to be doing this like for the long haul, like Lindsay said, vocationally. When I was living at the Los Angeles Catholic Worker, I was supporting Black Lives Matter LA, weekly at outside the DA's office. And they would say like very regularly, like, you know, we're not going to stop racism like this year or this decade, or even in our lifetimes. And so like, we need you to be here as part of this resistance, as part of this fight for a lifetime. So it's not great if you come to every single event. Like, we want you to come to Black Lives Matter LA events, don't get me wrong, but if you come to every single thing for a year and then we never ever see you again for the rest of ever, mm-hmm. That isn't a win. And they would say that regularly. And so that's something I took with me and that we're all on the same page about. And you know, from all of our stories too, I think it helps that we all have this vision of the importance of like Catholic Worker resistance to the filthy, rotten system, that like that's something we really believe is an important part of the work. It's not just the works of mercy, no matter, you know, how important those are, but that it is like a revolutionary movement. We named our newsletter In the Shell of the Old, which is a throwback to the Industrial Workers of the World, the Anarchist Union that Dorothy Day and Peter Morin would quote. And that's really our goal, is like as you know, Catholic workers is a whole societal change, and doing the works of mercy and trying to model like what care for each other and looks like, but also like what does care for somebody in Gaza look like when mm-hmm. our country is providing the bombs that are destroying their hospitals too. And so I'm glad we're all on the same page about that. And as we've been trying to figure out getting a House of Hospitality going, we have been trying to be intentional about doing that kind of resistance work, whether it's showing up to marches here in St. Louis or blocking a Boeing factory with folks here, because they're making those bombs in the St. Louis area that are destroying Gaza hospitals. Mm-hmm. So, you know, all three of us have been out there blocking the entrance to Boeing with other people, and mm-hmm. and we went down to Cop City to support activists there, and you know, we joined all the other Catholic workers and protested in Madison in this past March. So I think that's something we all really value, and I'm glad that I'm starting a community with folks who share that vision.
I feel like there's a lot of trust in each other built into it that like makes the process quite easy, you know, in terms of, you know, having past experience, but also like bringing it in with a fresh, you know, start in some sense. And I was really encouraged, you know, about a year ago when we were meeting and such, and Theo was just like, come on, let's just do the work, you know, do the work of works of mercy, and that we can trust each other and trust that we're going to show up and really like center the work and the holiness in the work itself, and to make it invitational to pull people in. You know, I think having a rich Catholic worker history here in St. Louis, that there's still so much support around that work, you know? Mm-hmm. And so it's also, we're like leaning into that community and also like centering the work that there's so many others who are so excited and wanting to get engaged in that work, you know? And so that's a real impetus as well, you know, kind of an exciting time, it's, yeah.
So that's also exciting that you all are able to do some of the work even before having a house, of being engaged in resistance, being engaged in sort of communal practices, even without actually being together yet. Let's ask some questions about the nitty gritty details though. How are you going to get a house? Are you going to use the house that you have, Chrissy? What's the plan of getting a House of Hospitality? How do finances work? All these things that sort of sometimes get glossed over and these houses appear.
Definitely. I think, yeah, and I mean, I would say like, I don't necessarily think we've had any like hard, like, oh my gosh, crazy conversations, but the harder ones have been like kind of that discernment piece of like, what the hell are we gonna do? You know, like, you know, Chrissy's like, we just decided maybe a month and a half ago that we're looking at like buying a house or like hopefully inheriting one if someone will give it to us, but that Chrissy's house needed a lot of work, and it was we were worried we would drain resources with it, both like our resources, but then also just like financial. It was a lot, but yeah, I mean, that was like a conversation to have. It was like, you know, we had to look up grants and see if, is there a way to fix the house or like how, you know, just like all of those little things of trying to, and then do the math of how much certain things would cost and what's possible and all of that. And so I think we had to kind of do some research there and suss that out. But then also now, you know, even we're just talking even with like putting our newsletter out, we mailed it all to the Karen House folks who got the Karen House newsletter, and we mailed it out and put a big letter there asking for, you know, money for us to hopefully buy a house, you know, have. Right now we're just trying to fundraise, and out of the hopefully abundance we'll get enough for a down payment. So that's kind of like where we're working towards. But yeah, that's even that, it's like the timeline of how to get that amount and what that looks like. And yeah, it's a whole thing. There's a lot more in there, you guys. And then, I mean, there's the whole conversation about who owns the property and like all of that. But what's beautiful is Theo has traveled around a lot and knows a lot of workers. And so just having conversations with how other people have done it, you know, and just knowing like who owns the house where you know, at Amaya's house, Lydia, and like how you guys do it. And then like Sheriff Brooke and just different ones. We've kind of looked at different models of like how to go about it. And we use the Bloomington's guide. So we got a bank account with our, you know, our name on it as a business bank account. And they kind of helped us with that and kind of shared their info on how they started kind of theirs financially and who owns their properties and stuff. So really using the wisdom of the elders and people who have done it before us has been like really a beautiful gift. Yeah, we're not in this alone. Yeah. And it's just beautiful too of even like the checks we receive or like the notes we receive from people. Or so like LA sent us money and a beautiful card and shirts and, you know, just this like sense of like this is so much bigger than us, you know, this is a movement. And I've been really just encouraged by the bounty there, you know, of people giving what little they have and God blessing it and it turning into, you know, the loaves and the fishes multiply. So we're in the multiplying stage right now. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how interesting all the nitty gritty details are. Like Lindsay was saying, like, I'm a Catholic worker nerd. Like, I like to go visit Catholic workers and sit in on their business meeting if I can. And often they're like, oh, you're only here a week. You don't have to come to that meeting. And it's like, no, like, I want to know how to do this stuff. People sometimes say I should write a book, but I don't know who would read that, the book about Catholic worker meetings necessarily. We're not totally set on this, but we are technically a religious order is kind of how we have arranged ourselves in a legal manner. But don't tell your IRS friends too much about that. Might be a good idea. So yeah, so we've been sending out newsletters, beg letters, just to anyone who will listen. In the St. Louis area, whether it's a parish or a cool sounding office at the Archdiocese or somebody who signed up for to get notifications from our email list or social media and stuff. And it's been, money's been trickling in. We're not, you know, gonna get rich. We're not gonna be able to buy a house outright for cash or anything like that. But folks have been supporting us, and like Lindsay was saying, that is does feel really good.
I appreciate Theo kind of encouraging us also to document this process too, you know, of just how we've been going about starting a Catholic worker and, you know, pulling in from some of those resources of people who have done it before, but also being able to like trust in ourselves, you know, and that we are trying to make that, you know, that something new, you know, that's adaptable to our specific place and time and what we see the needs that are around us and also what makes us feel really alive, you know. And I think of course we all have different gifts, but that's you know, trusting in that as well in that process.
So St. Louis has a very, very long history of Catholic workers. Actually just met somebody in Chicago who randomly had stayed as like a child in a in the St. Louis worker, but I don't know which one yet. But anyway, there's such a rich history there. What are some of the things that you're pulling from that, or in what ways has that history impacted you all in your process, either being helpful or maybe not?
I mean I am super grateful for the Catholic workers that came before us. Karen House, Cabot House, Cass House, all the different satellite locations that they had over the years and stuff, because it was and it is very much just like plug and play on in a certain level. Like, there's all these people who remember the those Catholic worker houses. They know what the Catholic worker is, like, because it's not always something that's easy to explain to somebody who has no idea what it is. So they remember it. They're excited about it. People have been emailing us. I had coffee with somebody the other day who was like, yeah, we used to cook dinner at the Karen house, and just let us know, and we could cook meals, even if it's just for you, you Catholic workers, we'll cook for you. And it's just people who want to be our friend, just because Karen House and Cabot House and all the rest were so cool and had such good reputations. And even, you know, we've even had like fancy titled people with the Archdiocese reaching out to us because they remember it. And so, yeah, I'm really grateful for the road that we are still able to walk on even after they've left us.
Yeah, it kind of comes to mind that, you know, sitting around the table drinking coffee, and it's been a lot of that, you know, and, you know, welcoming people in. We've been having a series of potlucks, monthly potlucks, and doing some roundtable discussions too. And yeah, again, like kind of centering the work and making it invitational, that there is so much support in St. Louis. And I mean, I feel like we're also kind of at the like coming out stage too, that we're, you know, in an early phase in St. Louis and just getting word out. And so that's exciting, like the possibilities. And I guess I feel like it's a challenge in some ways, because it's like, you know, I'm so used to like planning and having it concrete and really leaning into the spirit, you know, and just like putting prayers out there to St. Joseph and, you know, asking others to in terms of finding a house. And like, it just is really exciting to just know that there is that support, and just to also not know what shape it's going to take in many ways. And just to try to be in the process itself and not so much the outcome. And again, like centering the work, and it's all about building relationship, you know, and sometimes that takes time because you have to know like what people's passions and excitement and skills are. And so we're, yeah, kind of just feel like, you know, broadcasting seeds out into the wider community. And then also, you know, feeling the support in terms of the Catholic worker movement, not just in the US, but like worldwide, and to know that we are in that movement. And it's a beautiful one. And it's, yeah, the work that is needed is universal, you know. It's, and that's so very Catholic, but also like that it is work. And so we're trying to pull people into the work and center that work.
I think too, like the spirit of resistance that like comes before us, like it was so random, like at some point on either when we were on the resistance retreat in Madison, or I don't know, at some point I realized like one of the first resistance retreats was at, maybe even the first one was with Boeing. And I didn't even know that. And then Chris was like, yeah, I was at the first one or whatever with Boeing. And like, just that, like, that is the spirit that comes before us. And the fact that like, we were all there, like now saying like you coming to work is killing children. And like, that we're going to say, stand here and say like, please do better for yourselves and for our community. And like, that is just like powerful that comes before us, you know. And like, even to like with Ferguson and Theo, like living at Karen House, like shortly after Ferguson uprising and like his experience there, and like me and him briefly looked at that potential house in Ferguson and just like talked through that. And I think that like, you know, I just believe that we're like, that us moving forward in this is like in that the spirit of liberation that has come before us, of the workers that have been here before, you know. And then too, like me and Chrissy went up and met some of them that former workers that are living in Spanish Lake and have like a little like goat farm, and like met the goats. And like me and Chrissy separately both really want goats. And just like the beauty of like, we should really reach out with Milk and like learn to goats and like I stayed with Brian and Betsy, which the Strangers and Guests farm in Iowa for a couple months in between moving to St. Louis. And like they, both of them, I feel like have like really formed me when I needed to like, was lost and needed to kind of gain my sense of self again. But just like the joy too of like coming back to the land and the fact that like the workers before us, like that's where they ended up, is like tending to the goats and like on the land and like figuring out ways to tend to it. Like that is like the roots of where we're coming from, and like that's where we want to go. And I think that's the gift of like the spirit, I think, in all of this of yeah, so it's really exciting.
Well, let me know if you get goats and we'll come and visit you, mostly to see the goats, but also, you know, to see all of you. So what else? I feel like a lot of times people who are interested in the Catholic Worker do have like this curiosity of like, how would they start a Catholic Worker if they were interested? And I think for all of you, the process is a little bit different because you all have a lot of familiarity with the Catholic Worker. And so you're not coming at this from scratch. But I'm curious if anything has been surprising about this process so far, in coming together and thinking about creating something new.
I don't know if I've had too many surprises, but I do think, you know, your first or one of your early points there, like that we all are coming from this as experienced people. I think it is, it really does maybe shape how we're doing this or what it looks like. You know, I can just call up this or that Catholic Worker and be like, hey, do you have 10 minutes to explain your property ownership? And they'll be like, oh yeah, Theo, who I've hung out with a bunch of times, let me tell you about that real quick, you know? So like just being able to access that. But like if there's anyone listening who's curious about that kind of stuff, you know, the thing is probably a lot of the Catholic Workers would return your email or something. I will, if you want to reach out to me. Mm-hmm. So like I think that does make it different, but I also think I do think it's a strength in certain ways that like, because we've all done it, we're not just like coming at this like wide-eyed and bushy-tailed kind of thing. Like we've all experienced the shit that can happen, whether it's like difficulty in community or seeing difficult things, because that's the reality of poverty in the United States, and stuff like that. And so I think we know how the difficulties that can be there, but we also know like the joys of community and joys of being like part of the broader Catholic Worker community. So yeah, I'm just really happy to have an awesome team to be doing this.
I think something that was like a surprise but just like exciting is we found out that there's like folks that were trying to start a farm like only like 30 minutes from us, and like they're now calling themselves a Catholic Worker. They weren't initially, but then they came to Sugar Creek and people were like, you are, like, name it, call it out. And so like the Ozark Hills is, I think, what Foothills, I think, is what they're calling themselves. But just being friends with them and Shane and Ellen, and we went and visited them and learned about his, like, you know, he brews his own beer, but also like garlic and all the different kinds of garlic, and like the joy of that and having them close. And yeah, it's just been very exciting too, of just like someone not that far away is just as like interested and like curious about this. And like, you just never know, like, who, yeah. Went on a couple dates with the guy and he's like listening to the podcast and is curious. And I'm like, this is a thing, like the movement is beautiful. And like, it is something, a gift that keeps giving. And like, I think just, you know, that anyone could get interested. And so I just think that's awesome. And I love it.
Yeah, I too was thinking about the Ozark Foothill Catholic Worker Farm, and that was kind of a real great surprise. And just, yeah, trying to make the movement itself more accessible, or the work. And yeah, just also that whole don't call me a saint, like everybody should be pulled, hopefully everybody would be pulled into this work, you know, and to not make that separation. And we all so many of us clearly see the needs within our communities and just how to be empowered, but how we definitely do need community together to do this work, or it definitely has been so nourishing and necessary in my life.
So as we sort of wrap things up, other thoughts, lessons, inspirations, words of wisdom you'd like to share?
Yeah, I mean, I guess just that, like, I don't know, I had a friend one time was like, Lindsay, why don't you, like, start a worker? And I was like, what? But I just, it's just one of those things of, like, if you're interested, like, lean into that. Like, yeah, it's just, like, I almost feel overwhelmed with gratitude that I found something that fits so much of my, like, philosophy and way of life that, like, I didn't even know about for a lot of my life, you know? And I just, yeah, just like trust in that the spirit kind of brought us together in this like beautiful way, and I think continues to move forward. And yeah, and if you're out there and you have a house in St. Louis area, please reach out.
Or if you're interested in coming to the house when we get a house or in the work or what have you, most dear welcome.
Dear friend, yeah.
I think, yeah, similarly of just thinking about, yeah, the work and the beauty of the work, and just to know that we're going to make mistakes along the way and we'll probably have some hurt feelings, but not letting that stop us, and just to also try to, you know, get some things in place. But I think really, you know, again, going back to really trusting each other in this process, and trusting that we have this wider community to lean into as well, you know, both in the Catholic worker movement and those who have yet to join the Catholic worker movement that we hope well, or to join in the work, you know.
Yeah, something that LA in their card that they wrote us that I felt was just like, every time I hear this, it's so beautiful, but it's like, you know, you do something and you fail and then you learn and you do it again. And like, that's the beautiful of like radical imagination, is that like we are an experiment. And like, we're trusting in the spirit, and there's no like perfect or right way to do something, but like we trust our like love for each other, and that this, and that the love of liberation will continue in the ways we interact with each other and our community. And I think that, you know, we're trying and we're moving forward, but I just think that's such a good like lesson, because sometimes it's like, how do I do this? I have to do it the right way or this only way, but it's like, we try and we fail and we pray and we learn and we like do it again. And that's the work, you know?
Theo, what about you? Any final thoughts or final questions? I sort of commandeered asking all of the questions.
No, I appreciate it when you do that, Lydia, because your questions are always so much better than mine. No, I don't really have any final thoughts beyond what I've said. I'm happy that there are people excited in making the Catholic worker happen in St. Louis, which is my hometown too, if we haven't mentioned that. And I'm happy that the only two people who are super interested in doing that at the moment are pretty cool people too. And it was a lot of fun to finally have them come on the podcast here too for me.
Yeah, thank you, Chrissy and Lindsay, for being willing to jump on here and share a little bit about the process. I think it'd be really fun if hopefully the podcast is still going in a year or two to come back and see what the new worker evolves to.
Maybe you can come down for the inaugural goat party or something like that. We can do a live episode.
Definitely. Goats as special guests.
Oh, but thanks, yeah, for having us, and good to be here.
Yeah, it's a joy to, I always get kind of funny about these things, but it is a beautiful gift to like talk about just like our stories and how we got to where we are, and it's beautiful. Thank you.
So huge thanks to Lindsay and Chrissy for joining us. And of course, Theo, you're kind of obligated to be here. So, you know, just here again. But really enjoyed talking with all of you about this journey to start a new worker. I always think it's exciting to hear about new workers starting.
It's been exciting. And we've been lucky to have so many friends coming to join us too. We're still in the, maybe, I wonder if we're still in the honeymoon phase. I mean, we don't even have a house yet, right? Like we all love each other and it's going to be such a great community and stuff like that. And I'm sure it will be. But it has been a lot of fun, and it was a lot of fun to be able to have them on the podcast.
I think it would actually be really interesting if there's any other groups of people who are in the process of starting a Catholic worker to maybe talk with them as well, to kind of compare similar processes of what does it look like when people are exploring starting a Catholic worker. Your all experience, we kind of noted, was a little bit different because you all have been involved with the Catholic worker for some time, which I do think is a little bit of a different process compared to people who maybe don't have those years already of living in other communities.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Well, hopefully in maybe a year or two, we'll be able to do an update podcast on where the new worker is now. If you want to help support their journey or follow along, get their newsletter, those sorts of things, you can go ahead and look at the show notes, and we'll put all of the information in there where you can donate and sign up for their newsletter. That wraps up another episode for us of Coffee with Catholic Workers. If you want to reach out to us with any comments, suggestions, clarification of thought, you can always email us at coffeewithcatholicworkers@gmail.com. We want to say thanks to Catholic Worker audio engineer Chris, David Hayes for our music, and Becky McIntyre for our graphic.
Thanks for joining us again for some clarification of thought. We hope today's conversation and discussions have been enlightening, and maybe even that you're encouraged to go out and help build a world where it's easier to be good.